So it's great to be here with you guys. We're going to look at two awesome women in the Bible this morning. I think, sometimes the women in Jesus's time get a bit of a bad rap or get overlooked because there was a couple of really cool blokes, but I want to have a look at some really awesome women today. So sisters in the house, get excited, but we can all take something away. But before we jump into that, let's just pray, hey? Our Father in heaven, thank you for another opportunity to dig into your word. We glory in the wonders of who you are. Thank you for always being a trustworthy and faithful God. We lift your name on high this morning. Speak to us through your scriptures, open our hearts, and give us ears to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's jump into the word of God. I'm going to be reading from, it's a little bit of a clunky version, the American Standard Version. It's got a bit of thous and doths and hither and hath and whatever. But it's because I have a point to that, and I'll show you as we go along why. But sometimes it's good to go a little bit old school. Do you think you guys can handle that, going a little bit old school this morning? What do you reckon? Right, we're going to jump into Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. And I'm going to be reading from the ASV. Now, as they went on their way, he entered into a certain village, this is Jesus, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. I just highlight that word, because that word doesn't come out if you read some of the newer translations. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and she came up to him and said, Lord, let me get my English voice off. Dost thou not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, for Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. It's good. So the title of my message today, for those of you taking notes, is The Good, The Bad, and The Contextual. The Good, The Bad, and The Contextual. I've got a little bit of a Star Wars theme going on this morning, and you might think, oh, that's a bit weird, and does Star Wars have a place in church? But you'll see as I illustrate this morning why I've got that graphic up there. Now, there's many accounts in the Bible where one character is painted as a villain and the other as a saint, like a clear dichotomy of good versus evil, good versus evil, pure versus bad, wrong versus right. You know, for example, there's, I think a lot of people know about it, like Cain and Abel. You know, the one guy clearly got it right, the other guy got it wrong, and then the one guy killed the other guy. You know, that's a real right versus wrong. There was David versus Goliath, you know, the shepherd boy fighting the blasphemous giant. There's Jesus and Judas, you know, the traitor who constantly stole money from Jesus and ultimately betrayed him to death at the hands of the righteous leaders. No, there's a lot of stories in the Bible of like the bad guy and the good guy. And there should be, because, I mean, there's evil and there's God, you know. But, you know, many people have preached or delivered Bible studies on this passage that I've just read about Mary and Martha in a similar sort of way, painting the two women like Mary and Martha in this kind of light, at polar opposites, and as a do this, don't do that kind of story. Well, today I want to look at and analyze this bad Martha versus good Mary thing, as well as there is some truth to it, but I want to dig in deeper. It's good to dig deep into the Word of God and see the context, which is why I said the good, the bad, and the contextual. I want to pose, church, that this is not necessarily bad Martha and good Mary, but that both of them were on the right track. There are times when we should follow the example of either Mary or Martha, and the Holy Spirit and the context of the situation will help us find which one is we should be acting like in the moment. Hence my title, The Good, The Bad, and The Contextual. So let's start with the first point of view, the view that many scholars have taken. Let's zoom in and take a careful look at bad Martha. Bad Martha. or Marth Vader is what I'm going to call her from now on. Not Darth Vader, but Marth Vader. So, Bad Martha. You know, I think, like, I considered choosing, like, a really ugly-looking nun, like, zombie nun, like, I'm Bad Martha. But then I thought, nah, let's go with Star Wars rather than zombies. There's too much zombies in our world these days. So, you know, I thought the iconic Luke Skywalker on the good side versus Darth Vader on the bad side would be appropriate. There's a bit of a spoiler alert for those of you who haven't watched the 6 Star Wars movies yet. To tell you the honest truth, I haven't. I've just seen bits and pieces and played like a Star Wars video game here and there. Not a big fan of that kind of movie. But anyway, in the Star Wars movies, Darth Vader is supposed to be the baddie of all baddies, and Luke Skywalker is the ultimate hero and good guy. A classic battle of dark versus light. I've actually got a short video snippet that I just want to play to illustrate you this dark versus light section. If we can get that video up, please, June, that would be awesome.
There's no escape. Don't make me destroy you. Luke, you do not yet realize your importance. You have only begun to discover your power. Join me, and I will complete your training. With our combined strength, we can end this destructive conflict and bring order to the galaxy.
I'll never join you!
If you only knew the power of the dark side, Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough! He told me you killed him.
No. I am your father.
That's impossible!
It's a bit dated, the 1980s movies. Nothing like the awesome movies we have today. But it's funny, like, even having not watched the Star Wars movies, I just know that Darth Vader and Darth Maul and all these kind of, they're just bad guys, you know? But I found it quite interesting that in this, there was that whole twist of the baddie of all baddies is actually your father, you know? And I'm not saying here at all that Martha's an evil, ruthless person, you know, Marth Vader. But I do think sometimes we look at that story and we look at, like, okay, Jesus commended that girl, and so what everything that the other girl did must have been wrong. And I think that that's the wrong way to look at the story. It's not a dark versus light lens. Yes, maybe the snake in the garden, you know, tempting Adam and Eve is a true good versus bad story. But in this passage, Bad Martha and Good Mary is not the right way that it should be looked at. You know, usually the reason where this comes from, and I want to zoom into different areas, because people like to take one little bit out of context and focus on that and then ignore the rest. So let's zoom into a few places so I can illustrate my point. So in Luke 10 verse 40, I'm going to be looking at the New King James Version for this one. It says, "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.'" I want to go back to the other translation, the American Standard Version, because that, notice there says, Martha was distracted with much serving. In the American Standard Version, it says this for the same verse, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving. And she came to him and, 'Lord, dost thou let me serve alone?'" Same thing. So in one translation, Martha was distracted in one translation, cumbered in the other translation. Now, the Greek word that's being translated here in two slightly different ways, it appears in the New Testament only once, and it's here. This is the only place in the New Testament where this word appears, and it's called perispao. Now, I'm probably saying that wrong and butchering it, but perispao. And this is what the Bible dictionary says that that word actually means. That's translated as distracted and cumbered. It's to draw around, to draw away, to distract, cumber, to be driven about mentally, to be distracted, to be overoccupied, too busy about a thing. Now, I want to keep to the old translation. I wanted to keep to the old translation so you could see that old-timey word, cumber. And I started to think of, like, where have I ever heard the word cumber? It's not like people go around and they're like, man, I had a real cumbering day today. Oof, so many things. You know, oh, some notifications popped up on Instagram and that really cumbered me, you know. And it's like, we don't use that word, but it did get me thinking that probably the only place I've ever heard the word cumbered before was in a song. And this song I remember because I went to a Catholic high school when I grew up. And in that Catholic high school, I was part of the choir. So I'll have to give you guys a little bit of a demo so that you can get an idea of the song I'm talking about for those of you who don't know. So I'm just going to put the mic down so that I can get both hands involved. Thanks, guys. You're far too kind. So, boy, am I glad we don't sing songs in that style anymore. Imagine Crystal rocking out with the, hey, take it to the Lord in prayer, or Jesus, only you. We can maybe do that as a, yeah, but I'm just so glad that we don't sing songs like that anymore. But the funny thing is about a lot of those old songs is they're quite lyrically descriptive, you know, really descriptive. I mean, I can almost, from the way the person is singing, hear their pain, you know, like, oh, stop, you know. But are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Cumbered. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. This is what the Greek is alluding to when it says Martha was cumbered. I would say, yes, she was distracted, but maybe also overoccupied, a little too busy, burdened with serving is more accurate. So there is such a thing as getting too busy, too preoccupied about serving that you miss Jesus in the midst of all the good things you're doing to serve others and help those around you. But like it shouldn't be a cumbering load for us. I've heard people say that she was so busy that she was unable to see Jesus, but that's also overlooking some of the things that she did at the beginning. And this is where I want to start flipping your perspective of the story. Sometimes we do get caught up in serving others, yes, or even too busy in the craziness of life that we ourselves don't get a chance to recharge and spend quality time with our Savior and Lord. So that's what's one of the main take-home points is, like, we mustn't get so caught up in stuff that we miss Jesus, yes. But the other thing, the thing that people like to put on Martha Vader here is that she was getting caught up in the comparison game. She wasn't recognizing where Mary was in her walk and what kind of relationship she needed from Jesus at that time. Maybe she was a bit more mature and she was like, look, I'm going to just facilitate and just help. And then Mary, because she's just, you know, loving this Jesus guy and needing Jesus in her life, I'm just going to let her serve. No, she was playing the comparison game. She noticed her sister, and in her mind, she's like, oh, Mary's being lazy and selfish. She's not helping me get the meal ready. You know, but sometimes we just need to recognize that certain people are not ready to serve God in His house yet, or not ready to lead a connect group. And they just need to get taught Jesus first, get to know Him. And then from there, from that love, from that intimate relationship, like, serving just becomes a natural extension. You know, Martha being the older sibling and maybe more mature in the things of God, she should have been more considerate and less comparative, leaving Mary to just soak while she served in a way to facilitate this for her sister. However, I do want to point out one thing that bad Martha is being unfairly remembered for here. Let's take a look at, again, in Luke 10, 38 to 39. And I want to look at the New Living Translation because that also brings a little bit of something different, bit of a different flavor out. So as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha. Okay, what did Martha do right at the beginning? What I've kind of forgotten. Martha welcomed them into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. Sometimes we just zoom to the end and forget about the beginning. So Martha welcomed Jesus in, thereby facilitating her little sister to hear the word of God, to sit at God's feet. If bad Martha hadn't been hospitable and generous enough to not only be willing to provide food enough for her sister, but also Jesus and 12 disciples, maybe 14, 15 people, Jesus would have not had the opportunity to just come in and for Mary to then sit at Jesus' feet and just listen. That's so overlooked when this story is read. In the same way, church, I just want to recognize here as a side thing that so many of the people in this church who serve week in and week out, they serve in areas that, you know, we take for granted sometimes. Maybe you open your house every week to run a Connect group. Maybe you cook the snaggers on the sausage sizzle Sunday. Damien, I'm looking at you, mate. And no one said thank you. You know, maybe you can only ever listen to the message on podcast because, like Richard Wilkinson, you're always out in the foyer doing security. You know, let me encourage you. There's many people who do appreciate you, who appreciate, there's a whole bunch of Marys sitting here today that appreciate the Marthas every service. You know, some people are here today and in a relationship with Jesus because you're willing to selflessly lay yourselves down and do kids' church and do the welcome team and do all these areas that make church happen, you know, allowing other people to just soak and love Jesus. So I just want to say thank you to all the Marthas out there. I think the behind-the-scenes people who make things happen in church sometimes get a really bad rap, and they look at this verse and they're like, oh, have we got it wrong? But through the servanthood, the word of God can impact people's lives and free them from their bondage. So what's my conclusion on this first point of mine of bad Martha? We need Marthas in our families. We need Marthas in our churches. But they need to watch out that they don't get too caught up in facilitating Jesus for others, that they miss knowing Jesus for themselves. You know, Martha invited people into her home so that those people could listen to Jesus. Now, on your chairs, you'll see this little invite. Just take a look at this with me quickly, church. This is, Easter is just around the corner. It's about 2 weeks away. And it's a really awesome time. You know, at least we still live in a country where Easter can be celebrated. And yeah, people want to make an argument. A lot of it's been hijacked by pagan worship and stuff like that. But it's still, the reason for this season is Jesus' death and resurrection. So it's a time when a lot of people start thinking about, what is this Jesus thing all about? So with Easter around the corner, why don't we all think of the potential Marys in our lives? The people that we can be Marthas to. The people that we can encourage and invite to our Connect groups or invite to our Good Friday and Easter services. We could be that catalyst that God uses to introduce our friends and family to Jesus. How cool is that? We could invite Jesus. Instead of inviting Jesus into our home, Jesus is here every week. We can invite people to come here and experience Jesus for themselves. Maybe Martha has an undeserved bad rep after all. Anyway, I want to look at the other side of it now, moving away from bad Martha to good Mary. Good Mary. Look at that smile, hey? So cute. Good Mary, yes. Praised by Jesus. Yes, I can't take away from that. 100%. Now, you know, Mary is known as good Mary, rightly so. She put God first before all else. Absolutely just in awe of Jesus that she didn't even notice what was going on around her. But by the customs of the time, Mary should have been in the kitchen, helping Martha set the table, knead the dough, cook the food, load the dishwasher. Actually, I don't know if they had dishwashers back then, but you get the picture. However, she was so caught up in the words of the Son of God that she probably, without realizing it, left her sister to cater for 15-plus people on her own. We all need this in our lives, spending that undistracted quality time in the presence of Jesus, getting to know him better. We can do this through our own personal quiet times of prayer and Bible study, but also when we gather here on a Sunday to listen to the word of God and worship the name of Jesus as a church. The only thing in trying to be more like Mary that I want to highlight, when we try and live a life focused on Jesus and nothing else, we just need to watch these two caveats from the story. We need to watch that we aid, don't become too selfish, never serving the needs of others or introducing them to Jesus, just always just enjoying life and not laying anything down. We also need to check that we don't become too unrelatable. We call to spread the good news to others, and sometimes it's easy to just sit in church and just soak Jesus, but not step out and sort of invite other people in. We're not meant to be like this holy huddle that's disconnected from our communities around us. We should all be definitely spending more time with Jesus like Good Mary, because Jesus said Mary has chosen the better part. Jesus is definitely saying our personal relationship with him is really important, but he's saying it's better when comparing with it. He didn't say, Martha, you did the evil thing. Martha, you did the wrong thing. Martha, you did the bad thing. He said, Mary has chosen the better thing. Saying, what does better mean? Better means it's still good, but spending time with Jesus is better. So, what can we conclude from Good Mary? Well, we do also need Marys in our families and our churches. You know, we need to have strong relationships with Jesus. It's from that place of intimacy and where we're getting a download from God and we're knowing that everything's good and our cares are, that God cares for us. From that, we can then help others, you know. But Marys in our churches and families need to watch they don't get too caught up in getting to know Jesus and neglect sharing and facilitating Jesus with other people. And this brings me to my closing point today. So our relationship with Jesus and with other people is meant to be focused but balanced. Focused and balanced. So focused on Jesus, yes, but balanced. And how do we balance things? Through the Holy Spirit. He's the one who can tell us when we need to be doing which one. You know, in Matthew 22, 36 to 40, I don't have it here. You can go read it in your own time. But that summarizes this. When Jesus said the entire law of Scripture hangs on this, it can be broken down into loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. He says that's the most important commandment is that. And that's what you see here when Jesus is commending Mary. But he said the second commandment is like it. Love others as you love yourselves. So it's that whole thing, putting God first, but also then putting other people second. So we need to be focused. Focus on the main thing above all else, the hearing of the word of God and our own personal relationship with Jesus. Yes, absolutely. Completely focused on God and the awesome, magnificent King that he is to each and every one of us. But this should also be balanced with the selfless act of serving others. Not for any other reason, but that other people can also encounter Jesus. It's so good when others encounter Jesus and you're a part of their journey. It's just so rewarding. So Martha being painted in this bad light, this Marth Vader, ooh, evil Martha, is very contrary to what a lot of Paul wrote as well in the Bible. Just listen to what Paul says about having freedom to serve others. I want to draw your attention to 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 23. And this is my last scripture for the day. And I just want you guys to think about both Mary and both Martha, what they did in light of this scripture right here. So this is Paul. Even though I am free of the demands, there's that freedom again. Even though I'm free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. Listen to the range of people he's reaching. This is not only in church. Religious, non-religious, meticulous moralists, loose-living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized. I'm so glad that Jesus comes for the defeated and the demoralized, not just everyone who's got it together. And then he says that word there, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. Sometimes it's good to put yourself in someone else's shoes. I become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all of this because of the message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. There's so many ways that we can, you know, invite other people to come into knowledge, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And as you guys take these invites away from you, away with you today, I'd like for each of you to take this home with you and just pray about it. I've got an old boss from my previous career that I think Easter would probably be a good time to invite him to church if he's not going away camping, because I know he likes to do that. But as you guys take this away, just pray about and think about and say, Lord, who in my life needs to hear about Jesus? Who in my life could benefit from coming to the knowledge of Jesus and coming to the Good Friday, Easter Sunday services? So just, yeah, I encourage you guys to take that away, pray about it, seek the Lord, because there's always someone, hey? There's always someone. But, you know, at times we should find ourselves being Mary. We should be spending time soaking in Jesus, both personally at home and corporately in connect groups and in Sunday service. At other times, we should be laying our own time in the Word or worship aside to help others. We should be Marthas to others. This means helping the weaker and younger in faith to also enter into that beautiful relationship with Jesus. Being a Martha means, you know, just helping people soak. Maybe you can serve in behind the scenes ministries like the cafe with Karina and Helen and all the lovely ladies there. Maybe you can help with security. Maybe you can help with ushering, with the kids ministry. There's so many areas that we can get involved in. But we can also be a Martha by inviting friends to church and just come and sit and listen. So let's continue to share that freedom with others, church. Let's bless others around us. Because, I mean, there's nothing better than, say, a few months, maybe a year from now, where that person could come back to you and say, hey, you know that time on Easter when you invited me to church and I got totally my heart transformed and I got to meet Jesus for the first time and like my life has just totally changed. Thank you for inviting me to church. I mean, that how amazing is that, that we can be involved in bringing other people to know the one and true Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's live focused and balanced lives. Let's use the Holy Spirit to guide us as to when we should be a Mary, when we should be a Martha. Both types are good, even if being Mary is better. This is my take home for you, church. It is of the utmost importance that you grow in your relationship with Jesus over serving others, but never lose sight of this. Mary would have never been able to sit and listen to Jesus if it wasn't for Martha's initial invite for Jesus to stay at her house, her hospitality, her generosity, and her behind-the-scenes servanthood. Be a Mary, be a Martha. Most of all, be blessed. Thank you, church. We're going to now sing one final song together. And then I'll come and bless you guys and as we leave. So thank you guys for listening. Bless you.